Casey Coleman is the Chief Information Officer at the General Services Administration. Casey, it's a pleasure to talk to you. Let's start with the data center consolidation piece of what you're working on. Where did you start with number of data centers, and where did you start with an effort that you wanted to undertake to try to get that number down?
Francis, we started with 119 data centers for GSA. And when I say data centers, this is according to OMB's definition. Many of them are fairly small, more like computer rooms, but they still meet that definition. So that was our baseline. Last year, we met our goal of closing 37 of those. So we are well underway to get to our goal of closing 74% of all of our data centers.
And is that where you intend to stop, or do you see more potential savings available by continuing this effort?
We are going to focus on three core data centers. Three will be the consolidation points to move most of our remaining assets into. We may have a need for some particular reason to keep a few more open. I don't think we know that for sure yet, but we know that we can close the vast majority of them over the next 2 years.
How long has this effort been in the works, Casey?
Actually, it's been in the works for a couple of years because we had gone through a first round of analysis, and then OMB tightened up their definition of a data center, and so I think every agency had to go back and reanalyze according to the new guidelines. And then the closures actually began last year. So in 13, it's when we really got underway with the actual work of closing data centers.
Tell me about that strategy process. Was it just as simple as following OMB's guidelines and doing it the way they told you to, or was there more to it than that?
No, it's a fairly complex process, even for closing some of these smaller data centers. So, for example, the first step was to create an inventory, and we didn't have a master inventory of each of these data centers. We knew where they all were, but things like the number of servers, the storage, the kind of equipment and operating systems, details that really had to be fleshed out before we could even get started. And then we had to understand what was running in those data centers, what applications and what tools, and what were people using them for. Once that step was completed, we could begin to plan the migration. And it's not just a matter of picking up servers and moving them, as you know. We've got to make sure that the network is got enough bandwidth in the new site to handle the additional traffic. And in the consolidation process, we're not just moving machines. We're virtualizing. We're turning off applications that we no longer need. So we're doing a lot to tighten up our operations at the same time that we're consolidating. And then finally, we executed the migration, and final step is to remove the equipment from the old site. And that's when we can check that data center off on our list, is when the equipment is gone.
The two key elements there, Casey, correct me if I'm wrong, seem to be the capacity details at each of the data centers that you were using and what's running there. The other thing's certainly important, but it strikes me that those are the two biggies. Was there some kind of a correlation that you tried to develop where maybe there's a case where you have a data center that's not particularly big but running something important versus one that's large and has capacity to grow, but right now you're not doing anything there that's really important? Were those the kind of balanced decisions that you were looking at?
Yeah, and for this first round of consolidation, we focused on the data centers that were running the least critical systems, tended to be operating things like the ability to store documents, the ability to run office productivity tools, administrative things like databases and spreadsheets. So the kind of things that lent themselves to not only consolidation, but moving to the cloud. As you know, GSA moved all of our email and productivity tools to a cloud-based system. In our case, we're using Google Apps as our base technology. But the ability to run things from a cloud is a real partner capability to data center consolidation, because we can take some of the load off of our network and run it through accessing the cloud service provider.
That idea of turning off apps, I think, is appealing to your peers across government, because mm-hmm. as they go and do these inventories too, and then do some of the same kinds of strategies you did with apps, they're finding the same thing. What kind of stuff did you find? I imagine the concept of, you know, pulling the cushions out of the couch and finding stuff you didn't know was in there.
You know, nothing too surprising. A lot of spreadsheets and a lot of office documents, a lot of databases and you know, small websites or tools. They tend to be the kind of things that were created locally and consumed locally. So the kind of things that folks needed at the endpoint, be it a region or a small field office, that's the kind of stuff we found.
The process of virtualization, tell me a little bit about that and how you're deciding this is virtualization worthy rather than just taking, then going directly to the cloud. It doesn't sound like you're doing storage in the cloud yet. Is that a fair deduction on my part?
Well, we're doing a little bit of storage in the cloud because in our cloud-based email and collaboration suite, we have the ability to put documents and the ability to store and share and collaborate around documents. So for end-user documents, we're definitely using cloud-based storage. We're not really moving to cloud-based storage as it pertains to more industrial applications, industrial strength applications, but that's in our plan. It's in our roadmap.
What else is in your roadmap? What's the next step or two steps that you plan to take with the data center consolidation effort?
Well, we certainly need to complete the next 2 years' worth of closures. As I said, we'll be consolidating into our three core data centers. One of those is the Stennis Space Center that we're sharing with other agencies. We will be a tenant in that center. I think that's a good example of what the administration's trying to achieve with multi-tenant data centers that really have, you know, world-class operating efficiencies. Because we have such a presence there, you can really optimize around a lot of tenants using that space.
What's your sense, money-wise, of the work that you've done the last couple of years? Do you have a price tag that you're able to put on what you've been able or and what you expect to be able to save in the future?
We estimate over the 5 years of this project that ends at the year fiscal year 15 that our net savings will be $24 million.
If you were going to start this effort today and you had the benefit of your hindsight now, how would you approach this differently? Are there things that you would do that you didn't do, or are there things that you wouldn't do that you did in getting to where you are today?
You know, in hindsight, I'm pretty happy about the progress we've made, especially as it pertains to our relying on cloud-based approaches and not just data center consolidation. I think that both of those really complement one another. The hard part, as you say, though, was getting the inventory together, not only of the configuration of those data centers, but also the application mapping of what's running. And if that were something that we had been able to maintain, and of course now will maintain over time, that'll make any future optimization efforts much easier.
Casey, I want to talk about the transition that's also ongoing in your office and the people that you work with in the IT side at GSA. Tell me about the way that the information technology management setup was structured at GSA before this consolidation effort, and tell me what you wanted to do in shifting it the way that you've shifted it.
Yeah, so there's a baseline that existed up to about a year ago when we did the consolidation. The offices in GSA had their own IT department, so the Federal Acquisition Service and the Public Building Service, PBS and FAS, had their own IT departments that really ran their business systems. The CFO and HR departments had IT operations within those organizations and so forth. Now, they had a sort of a dotted line reporting relationship to the OCIO, but really had a straight line reporting relationship to their functional heads. In doing this consolidation, we really based the business case around the benefits to be obtained by really putting everything together and getting a lot more efficiency, a lot more effectiveness, and a lot more cohesion, you know, delivering a lot more for the money from a unified IT team. So in February of this year, the GSA order was signed to put all of our IT teams together in a single organization. So now that GSA IT organization is the delivery point for technology solutions and capabilities across the agency.
What are the kinds of service improvements that your internal customers inside GSA, who maybe aren't involved in the IT shop at all, will see from the way that you've changed things?
Well, there's certainly some benefits that affect our users, both within the agency and those who are customers of GSA outside the agency. One of the key points is that each office historically had made its own technology choices. So even though we had standards, there was sort of an allowance within those standards for a lot of variability. And so now coming together, we can really get, you know, the best leverage in terms of our buying power, in terms of our focusing our efforts around a more core set of technologies, so we can save money, and we can also improve our own subject matter expertise around those technologies, And the way that will benefit end users is that we expect to be able to deliver capabilities faster. We think it'll simplify the environment for the users. I sometimes think that our systems employees have to work for the systems rather than the systems working for the employees. So one of our key goals is to simplify the IT environment, make it much more intuitive, user-friendly, much more what you'd see in the commercial world or in your personal life.
So this org chart has you at the top of it now. What does it look like underneath you? Who reports to who?
Well, it's a pretty flat reporting structure, and I think that's a useful structure in the beginning because we're all kind of bringing everything together and we don't yet know what the ultimate org structure will look like. So all of the senior executive IT leaders report directly to me, and that's, I think there's 9 IT executive roles.
Are there cost savings that you expect to see with this restructure, or is this just organizational, the benefits that you'll see?
Well, we created a business case looking at those issues, and you're right, there's a lot of qualitative benefits that are more around operating more effectively that are not so transferable into hard dollar cost savings. But even there, we anticipate a savings of up to $60 million over the next 3 years from things like simplifying the IT environment, using fewer technologies, and things like improving our interfaces between systems. So rather than our users having to serve as the interaction between different systems that require the same data but in different formats, we will be better able to connect those systems and present a more seamless experience to our end users. So even beyond our own IT savings, we think that there will be productivity improvements and a lot of the softer benefits that come from an environment that's more easy to use and better able to support our mission.
Now, you know very well that when you make changes like this, the change management is as much cultural as it is structural. How did that go throughout this transaction, Casey?
Well, I'm really proud of the way that the entire team has leaned forward together to work on this consolidation. So in an organization of now over 500 personnel involved, there were over 100 people who volunteered to step up and be involved in the planning and in the analysis and putting together the roadmap for us to go forward. So this was a very inclusive process. It was very much one in which anyone who wanted to contribute had the ability to do so. It was a real cross-organizational in terms of the leadership who stepped up to lead a particular effort. And I think that one of the things we really tried to focus on is owning this change. So we didn't hand it off to a third party to come back and tell us how to do it. We certainly consulted with a lot of organizations who've gone through this themselves and those who could advise us on the best practices, but we really owned it ourselves and continue to do so that the change reflects, the way GSA needs to run in the future for the most optimal IT organization.
And same concept here, Casey, is with the data center consolidation. If you were going to start this over today, knowing what you know, are there things that you would do differently, or are there things that you would not do that you did, et cetera?
I don't know that I would change that much. You'd always like to operate these initiatives with as much speed as possible, but there's also a balance of bringing people along and making sure that the change is well understood and accepted. So I feel like we've struck a pretty good balance in terms of the need for speed and a sense of urgency with the need to be thoughtful about that change management that you refer to. Because you're right, if the personnel and the employees and the people affected by this are not enthusiastic and bought in, you'll not get the results that you're looking for.
Did you strategize that part of it, that balance striking ahead of time, Casey, or is that something you kind of have to feel your way through as you're actually navigating this situation?
Well, I think it's certainly something you navigate as you begin this journey, but we learned some lessons from some of our previous initiatives. You may recall 7 years ago, GSA went through a first round of consolidation to put together all of our common services, mostly infrastructure related. So things like the management of our network, the help desk, management of devices like laptops and smartphones, all of those services were being replicated across the agency in using 40 different contracts and 15 different help desks. So we underwent that consolidation in the 2006 timeframe and immediately saved about $20 million. And, of course, over time, it had cost avoidance in the $100 million-plus dollar range. So that first round of consolidation really informed you know, the things to do, the things not to do, and how to work with stakeholders, and how to make sure that you set yourself up for success. And that previous round of success really informed this round of consolidation, which affected more the business systems of the agency.
People inside the agency, Casey, tell me the MyView application has been a pretty seamless deployment and has gone smoothly. They're able to access their desktops on pretty much anything. Tell me about that solution and what the goal was in deploying that, and then the results that you've seen from inside the agency.
As you know, GSA has made a real push to go completely mobile. It's part of our broader strategy of, as the steward and the landlord for a lot of the federal real estate, a lot of the federal buildings, we're trying to be effective in how we use space ourselves, how we fulfill our mission and be with our customers and stakeholders when the occasion calls for it, rather than tethered to a desk. So for the past few years, we've gone increasingly mobile. Part of that was our move to the cloud for our email and collaboration documents. Part of it we had to do with equipping employees with laptops and with the right mobile devices for them to be able to work from anywhere at any time and using any device. And then another element of this has been the ability to get to their core legacy systems that were not cloud-based but still needed, remote mobile access. And the MyView desktop virtualization initiative, it really is the answer to that piece of the puzzle.
Is this a way to access a VPN type thing through the internet to get to that legacy stuff, or is this something that's totally cloud-based?
Yeah, it's the same sort of concept as VPN in that it lets you connect securely from a remote location to get to your information. But the difference and the added benefit is that with a virtual desktop, your laptop or your computing device is no longer, where all the information sits and where the computing power resides. We have a GSA cloud, so you can think of it as a private cloud, and your desktop, all of your applications and data and all of your settings sit there in that GSA cloud, and your computer is just a viewing device and a way to access that information. So it is, it's more secure. There's less information on the device. Even though our devices are encrypted, this is an additional cybersecurity measure. It also has the ability of giving people access in a much more robust fashion from, a wider range of devices, and gives them the ability to connect regardless of where they are and regardless of, what environment they're operating in.
That was where I was going to go next. It sounds like it eliminates the platform or the operating system limitation that people would have with various devices.
Yeah, and one of the additional benefits is that you're correct on that point, but in addition to that, it allows us to be a lot more fluid with updating and patching and advancing the systems, because historically, we could only modernize the operating system when all of the applications that run on it were able to be updated. So, you were sort of held back by whatever the least modern application in your environment was. But using virtualization and using MyView, we can put those in different cloud environments and separate them, and then we can update everyone to the latest operating system. So it really gives us the ability to stay current with patches and OS releases and hence more secure and more up-to-date.
And it sounds like when you go through the process of transitioning legacy systems to the cloud, it will make that much more seamless and make it easier for you to do that. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, it is fair to say. And it also really gives us a very complete, going through this process has given us a very complete baseline of all of our applications and systems and what technologies that they depend upon. So we now have a very thorough picture of our portfolio and can understand, how to modernize and even move to the cloud every one of those applications as much as possible.
You mentioned that kind of inventory or baseline when we talked about the data center consolidation piece of this. Do you also have a strategy in place to make sure that inventory and baseline stays up to date on an ongoing basis so that you don't find yourself at some point in the future having to go back and do that again?
Yes, we do. I will say that I think there's probably room to improve the automation of maintaining that baseline, but we've got it now, and so the maintenance of it, even though it's a little bit of a manual process, is going to be pretty straightforward for us to keep updated.